Here comes Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Truth, empowerment, and inspiration. If you're tired and done with news that has an agenda, politicians that seek only re-election, and a culture run amok, Carol Gold awakens you to what is and what's possible. And now, supporting you on the journey, honoring you in your choices, empowering you to be your highest self, and always lighting and leading the way, here is Carol Gold.
Hi, welcome to Inspirational Gold. I'm Carol Gold. The number here is 858-777-8442 if you'd like to either get a reading or join in the discussion. Tonight I'm going to talk about gender in terms of the presidency. And generally today when you talk about gender, suddenly the conversation is discussing lesbian, gays, transgenders. No, I want to talk about the hunger that's out there to have a female president. I think that the same kind of optimism and anticipation that preceded the 2008 election when Barack Obama began to pull ahead of Hillary Clinton in the primary, I think that same sort of hopefulness and myopic view, very narrow view, is happening to a lot of people as we go into 2016 when it comes to Hillary Clinton. Not women in general when it comes to Hillary Clinton. And I want to make the point when it comes to Hillary Clinton as well, and not women in general, because I think there's actually a pretty responsible, pretty proven, at least in terms of domestic policy, if not foreign policy, potential candidate who's a female on the Republican side, being Carly Fiorina, the former Hewlett-Packard CEO. But let's put party aside for the moment, and let's just talk about gender. You know, I've been voting for decades, and I would love to see a woman president. I went into a male profession fundamentally. I became an attorney, and law was one of those professions that originally, certainly not in the last 30 years, but originally law was one of those professions that was predominantly male. Now it's probably 50-50 or close to it. And what would happen is that when women broke into the profession, in order to survive, they very much acted like men. They took on all of the qualities of a male lawyer, which didn't do the profession any good because it already had men and the energy that men could bring to the profession. And what it really needed was that balancing counter energy of what I call divine feminine energy in order to shift the consciousness not only of the profession, but also of the justice system. Well, it's been decades since women were a significant number in the legal profession, and I don't know how much of an impact they've had in a positive sense, because I don't know how many women really practice law from divine feminine consciousness, which is something I can easily talk about here on this show because I'm billed as a spiritual talk show, but not so easy to talk about to the profession itself. And the reason is that in trying to treat men and women equally in the legal profession and otherwise, we tend to obscure the very real differences that exist between men and women. And I think those differences go beyond the physical. I think they go to the emotional and the spiritual as well. You know, I scheduled this show and what I wanted to talk about this show days ago before the Bruce Jenner, what is his new name? Caitlyn. Before the Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner picture appeared and went viral, that will be the cover of Vanity Fair's next issue. And perhaps it's good timing to talk about this topic, particularly in the context of the presidential election that's coming up, because I think the last thing we need is a woman who brings to the presidency beside whatever other baggage Hillary Clinton may have in terms of her credibility, and about now I think it's polling at 57% of the people don't believe she's credible, don't believe she's trustworthy. Separate from that, what's the baggage she brings in terms of being like a man? She has been like a man in the way she's approached politics and the way she's approached her public persona. I think other than the brief moment when, if you're old enough to remember, she was interviewed by 60 Minutes when Bill Clinton was running for president the first time, and Jennifer Flowers had gone public with the fact that she had had an affair with Bill Clinton while he was in the governor's mansion, while he was married to Hillary Clinton. And other than the moment when Hillary Clinton sat on the sofa and on television stood by her man, quote unquote, that's the closest I think she's ever come to behaving like a woman in her professional life. I can't speak to her personal life. She seems to have a lovely daughter, although her daughter is a little indulged and overpaid because of who her parents are. But separate from that, she seems to be a nice enough young woman. So I assume that her mother and father, in the midst of all of their craziness, raised her with good values and raised her to be a respectable young woman. But in Hillary Clinton's professional life, she's been ruthless, she's been deceitful, she's been power hungry. And I don't say power hungry because she's a woman. I would say that a man who traveled the same path that she had traveled, that she has traveled only in reverse, had he been the spouse and his wife had been the one with aspirations for the presidency from the time of college, I would say the same thing about the man. It's not because she's a woman and therefore we say she's, you know, she's ruthless. It's not that, whereas with a man we would say he's simply powerful and has a forward-looking projection for his career. I say it because she, in fact, has been ruthless. And there are enough testimonies to that by people who have interfaced with her in her professional life. So my point here is it's good to want a woman president. We should aspire to have the presidency filled by every gender. We should have the presidency filled by any gender that is qualified, the person as an individual being qualified for the position. But in this particular case, I think there are an awful lot of young people in particular, and maybe even boomers who grew up wanting to see women have equal rights and grew up with feminism, both that age group and also young people who really don't know Hillary Clinton's history. They only know that she's a woman and she's running for president. I wonder how many people really stop to analyze, is this the woman that we want in the presidency to be able to say we finally had a female president? I'm going to continue this discussion, but I did say I do readings on air in tonight's show. So let me go to the phones for a minute. Area code 818, were you listening to the show or did you have a question or a comment?
I'm listening to the show.
The show.
It's fabulous.
Okay.
Fabulous.
Okay, great. Okay, then stay with me. And if you do have a question or a comment going forward, just remember to hit the question mark sign when you know, on the phone. I think it's the pound sign, but I'm not sure. And I'll be glad to get back to you. So I'm talking about this topic of wanting a female president, and particularly the topic of gender this week with what's happened with Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner. You know, I had a very interesting Viber texting back and forth today. My daughter is in the Israeli army, and we communicate daily, and we have obviously a generation gap, and we are best of friends, but we have some very strong differences of opinion. And I expressed mine today, and she wrote me back about Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner, and she kept calling Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner a she. And I wrote back and said, he's not a she. And so that conversation and that exchange occurred. So regardless of where you come down on that, there is nonetheless something that in the spiritual realm we call the divine feminine consciousness. And what that is that in nature, there is both male and female. And if you're religious, in the Bible, there is God creating man and woman God creating man and woman in God's image, in Creator's image, both male and female alike. But clearly, they were created as separate entities. And there would be no purpose to creating them as separate entities if they didn't have separate functions. And yes, in terms of reproduction, they have separate functions. That's the obvious. But anyone who knows men and women, and we all do because we are all that, right? Anyone who knows that yes, admittedly, we all have male and female qualities within us, but we also have very natural propensities within us. And I think that in most cases, there is a distinction psychologically, emotionally, of course, the obvious physiologically. And I don't think those distinctions are all culture implemented. I don't think, yes, they're culture enforced in most cultures, but I don't think they originate in culture. I think we are born with that consciousness, either male or female. And that consciousness drives very much decision making and, in fact, drives our emotional selves as well. So when we talk about a woman president, I want to see a woman president, but I want to see a woman president who brings the divine feminine consciousness, who has shown that whether in business, whether in the private sector or the public sector, she has been able to elevate the consciousness. She has been able to elevate the people with whom she worked, the people with whom she interacted in her professional and in her personal life. I want to see her be able to hold on to the divine feminine and yet still use that divine feminine strength, which is a different kind of strength than male strength, to apply it to leadership, so that we begin to have a new understanding of what leadership can be like. Because thus far, you know, when we talk about males being hunter-gatherers, the way that men conquer things, the way men deal with adversity, the way men deal with threat is, in fact, to manifest a similar level of adversity and a similar level of threat. For the most part, men meet violence with violence, or they meet aggression with aggression. And that is not the way the divine feminine, and I'll say female, the divine feminine consciousness does not operate that way. It is not inherently aggressive. It is inherently nurturing, because if it were not, it would not probably have been given the physical capability to produce something that in fact needed nurturing. I think they go hand in hand. And so men not having the male consciousness, the divine masculine consciousness, having not the need to physiologically nurture, therefore doesn't have, certainly it may have, they may have some, but they don't have the degree of nurture capacity and capability, and more than that, instinct that the divine feminine does. So when, you know, it's a tricky subject to segue from the presidency to Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner. But the point I want to make is, and maybe I can make it this way, because Hillary Clinton is a female by gender, does not mean that she has not taken on, in order to succeed, the divine masculine way of interacting and of advancing and of quest, of conquering. And just because Bruce Jenner changes his name and has silicone and plastic surgery, and then obviously enhanced with photoshopping and makeup, and wears women's clothing, does not give him a divine feminine consciousness either. It is something that not only has to be inherent, it has to be nurtured. It has to be expanded, like all consciousness. It has to be fed. And so, you know, I remember I once had a conversation with a psychologist who said to me, it was a psychiatrist, and he said, the easiest kind of patient for me to cure, so to speak, is somebody who is neurotic. Because all a neurosis is an excess. It's an excess of something. It's very easy to moderate, to bring down the extreme of a neurotic. The hardest patient for me to cure, he said, is someone who had early sensory deprivation. Someone perhaps like a child raised in an orphanage or an institution who didn't have nurturing and bonding. He said, because it's the opposite of excess. It doesn't exist. There's nothing there to work with. It's like a void. And if I can digress here for a minute, I know exactly what he was referring to because I went on to adopt a child and raise an adopted daughter. And I've done shows on attachment disorder, and I've done shows on even sharing some of my daughters with her permission, personal stories of raising her. But I understand from personal experience what he's talking about with a deficit in terms of early input, early nurturing input. So my point is this. In the case of Bruce Jenner, there's a void there. There's a void that exists. And no amount of external enhancement or manipulation is going to alter the fact that he was born a male. And there is a male consciousness there that is part and parcel, I believe, to creation. Again, I make the point, I made it rather graphically today to someone. I said, God created, giraffes, right? God can create anything. If you look at a giraffe, and God has a sense of humor too, you know this, because you can look at a giraffe and understand that God can create anything and God has a sense of humor. At least that's how I see them. I love those animals, but they make me smile. If God wanted to create a human that could reproduce, Creator didn't have to create a man and a woman opposite one another, or at least apart from one another. Creator, in its infinite wisdom and creative energy, could have created a being that either had two heads or had organs, male and female alike, that managed to be able to meet one another, shall we say, within the same organism and reproduce itself. Obviously, that was not the intention. For whatever reason, and we get so lost in wanting to be open, liberal, accepting, politically correct, modern, whatever the words are, we get so lost in all of that that we begin to lose distinctions that actually do make a difference. And I think there are distinctions in life that make a difference. I don't think someone's color makes a difference other than that we have as a species been less than intelligent when it comes to honoring people who look different than us on the outside, who are physically configured differently. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about divine feminine and divine masculine consciousness. You know, I've read many books, both historical books, I've read fiction, I've read channel books. I've read many books on the topic of Jesus, not because I believe he's the Messiah. I'm a Jew. I believe he was a prophet. I believe he was one of the most enlightened beings to ever walk the earth. I read because I'm fascinated by history at that point in time, which was clearly some sort of turning point where an awful lot of people came forward in human history with misperceptions that have led to war and violence and misunderstanding ever since. But the point I want to make about the books I've read that are channeled is that they almost to a book talk about Christ or Jesus or Yeshua or whatever you choose to call that particular enlightened being as being the physical manifestation of God, the physical manifestation of God consciousness, the physical manifestation of the divine masculine aspect of God. And that they also, all the channeled books anyway, and some of the not channeled books, I believe Margaret Starbird, who does not channel, but is a philosopher and a historian of sorts, I believe that Margaret Starbird's books talk about Mary Magdalene as being the divine feminine, as being the counterpart to Jesus. And of course, religion made her a whore first, then a saint later, go figure. But many books that I've read talk about the divine feminine and the divine masculine consciousness. And in fact, many of those books that talk about a second coming or as we like to talk about things now, the paradigm shift that we've gone through, many of those books talk about that when we are visited again in a very real sense by a physical form of Creator, it is the divine feminine that will appear, not the divine masculine, because the divine masculine has already appeared, and we've had 2,000 years of evolution from that moment forward, and now what we need is the counterbalance. We need the actual appearance and understanding of the divine feminine. That figure, that historical figure, Jesus, whether you believe he was a prophet or a messiah or nothing more than a very spiritual human being, clearly understood both the male and the female consciousness. He made it a point to be inclusive of women. I think there is among enlightened beings an understanding that divided we fall, united we stand. It's an old principle. You cannot deny or subsume or sublimate half of the human race and expect progress to be positive. You, in fact, you can't even do it and expect to survive. Because in the balance of everything, and balance doesn't mean stagnation, by the way. Balance means a constant flow back and forth. Balance is not a point where there is no motion. Balance is really rebalancing constantly. You cannot have an enlightened society and an advanced species that does not honor the gifts that all of its contributors bring to the table. So just as with this show, or the other show I do, Above the Fray podcast, on Monday and Thursday with Steve Clark, on all the shows that I do, and the land-based radio, the terrestrial radio that I used to do in Philadelphia, on all of those shows, I always say, call in, chat, write in. We all have a piece of the puzzle, right? Nobody has all the answers. Everybody comes to the table and brings a piece of the puzzle. It's why the saying is the Buddha could be your grandmother cooking chicken soup at the stove. It could be the person pumping gas. If you live in a state where people are still allowed to work in a gas station and pump gas for you as opposed to pumping your own, you never know where it's coming from. It can come from a four-year-old child, and it certainly can come from half the species. So we can't expect to get where we want to go in terms of enlightenment and wisdom without being inclusive of both genders. So, and by the way, inclusive of people who don't have a specific gender, okay? They too have wisdom to bring to the table. I simply draw a line for myself at a point where I say there's no difference between men and women, that transgender bathrooms should be the norm. There's a line for me. There may not be for my daughter. We had a discussion today. She has a different view. And maybe it's not 100% or 180 degrees opposite from mine, but she's much more, I think, open and accepting. I don't think I'll ever call Bruce Jenner she. My daughter is calling Bruce Jenner she. It's you know, those are semantics, but in my heart of hearts, to me, there it will always be, at least in this incarnation, in this body, in this consciousness that I'm in this lifetime, I believe that there will be a distinction in my mind between male and female. And so the same way that I said, I want people to call into the show because we all have a piece of the puzzle, we all have a piece of the puzzle when it comes to humanity as well. Not just politics and book reviews and whatever else. I welcome your input spiritually. If you have a different perspective, you may have a more enlightened perspective. I may be able to learn from you. I may be a better person because you type a question in the chat room that causes me to think, or you call in and ask a question or raise an issue that we dialogue in. That's what respect for difference is. By the way, that's what diversity is. That's what diversity is. Diversity isn't, you know, reparations and affirmative action. Diversity is respect for another human being and what it is they bring to the table, regardless of what they look like and regardless of how much they agree or disagree with you. You may not change my mind, but I honor the fact that you have a mind that sees things differently than I do. Again, if we weren't all meant to be different, God could have made, or Creator could have made one of us, and put us on a copy machine and just kept spitting out replicas. That too clearly was never the intention. Every single living human being is unique, like snowflakes. Every single snowflake has a unique configuration, and every single human being does as well. So with less than 5 minutes left in the show, let me pull it back to where I began. Yes, the nation, the culture, the world needs the divine feminine. I think it went down that road, quite honestly, with Princess Diana, with the Princess of Wales before she was assassinated. I think she was blooming and blossoming into a very balanced and productive and world-changing representation of the divine feminine. I think that's why the world mourned her loss the way it did. So I want to go back to this concept of the divine feminine. Yes, we all know the world needs that energy, but not just because it has blonde hair or wears a dress occasionally, not just because the Democratic Party owes her the position because somehow she's been a good soldier in the past. The presidency needs to be earned, and then it also needs to be filled by someone who is a representative of the times in which they govern. And more importantly, a leader for the time in which the nation needs leading. And we do. I am an advocate of every single individual being empowered, of every single individual understanding that any one of us can change the world. I believe that. Gandhi proved that. And so leadership is important, and it matters who's in the White House, because leadership can change the world, and because one person can and has on more than one occasion. The only difference between Jesus and Adolf Hitler is that one used their power for good and their charisma for good, and one used their power and their charisma for evil, for the opposite of righteousness, for the opposite of what I call right useness, the rightful use of energy. And so it's not enough to be powerful, it's not enough to be charismatic, and it's not enough to be intelligent. We need wisdom and enlightenment as well, and we need it now as we've never needed it before. So don't vote party, and don't vote gender. Look for wisdom and enlightenment. Read between the lines. Do your homework. I don't know where that person is yet. I haven't made up my mind. I'm not promoting anyone from either party. That's not my agenda. My agenda is to empower you to understand that you make a difference in the world, that you make a difference in your immediate world, and just like when a butterfly flaps its wings in Austin, Texas, wind patterns change in Osaka, Japan. It's just a matter of time. That's reality. You make a difference not only in your immediate world, but you make a difference in the world at large by the decisions you make every day and the ethics, the morals, and the commitment you bring to the responsibilities that are yours. So, thanks for joining me here on Inspirational Gold. I will be back again next Tuesday at 6:30. At some point, the show will get expanded to an hour when my audience builds back up. I used to have a very large audience. I left this show. I went off the air for a while and only did Above the Fray on Mondays and Thursdays. But I'm back because I believe this divine feminine voice needs to be heard. I'm Carol Gold. You've been listening to Inspirational Gold. You can also check out my website, Carol, CAROLEGold.com. You can check out Above the Fray Podcast.com. You can also check out The Jury Whisperer, another one of my many projects. I am a lawyer by training. I am a mystic by design. Blessings and namaste to each and every one of you, and thank you for listening to the show and spread the word.
You've been listening to Inspirational Gold with Carol Gold. Please check out Carol's blog on her website at www.carolgold.com. You can email her at contact@carolgold.com. Carol can also be heard Fridays at 10 a.m. Central on Above the Fray podcast with co-host Steve Clark. Please visit Carol's fan page on Facebook at Above the Fray podcast and follow her on Twitter at Carol. Carol Gold now. It's great having you be a part of creating a better world. Until we're all back together again.
Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.